was to England, for there were close trade links between the two countries. English sheep provided the wool for the cloth mills of Flanders. Without this wool, the artisans of Flanders would starve, just as the cotton operatives in Lancashire starved when American cotton was denied them during the American Civil War. The great cloth towns realized that their true interests resided in an English alliance, and they appealed to Edward for help against the exactions and harsh treatment of their count and their suzerain. Thus began the long era of community of interests and friendship between England and the Low Countries. The relations between England and Scotland had been unhappy for half a century, and they were destined to remain unhappy for a further 100 years. Young Edward, at the outset of his reign, had one overruling ambition: to restore the ascendancy established by his grandfather, Edward I, over Scotland, and to give the island of Great Britain a single government. Yet when he invaded Scotland and seemed on the verge of complete success, the French king, Philip VI, twice intervened diplomatically and secretly helped the northern country by all possible means. Thus was induced in the minds of both the English king and his parliament a deep feeling of suspicion and distrust of the French king, and the belief steadily grew that war between the two countries was inevitable. This suspicion of Philip was not fully justified, but it became ingrained nevertheless. The damage was done. The third predisposing cause of the war was the disputed succession to the French throne on the death of Charles IV, the last of the Capetians, in 1328. When, in 1314, Philip IV, the Fair, so-called, died, he left a younger brother, Charles of Valois, 3 sons and 1 daughter. Each son wore the crown in succession, none of them having surviving male issue. When the last of them died, the French barons selected his first cousin, Philip, son of Charles of Valois, thus passing over Isabella, the sister of the late Capetian kings. It was understandable that Isabella should be passed over. There were 2 precedents for it, and a woman had never been sovereign of France. But Isabella had a son who was thus nephew of the late kings, and a nephew is nearer in kinship than a cousin. Isabella's son was in English and in some French eyes the lawful claimant to the throne. Why then was he also passed over? The answer is because he was born and bred in a foreign country, and was moreover the king of that country, for the name of this son was, of course, Edward III of England. Philip was thus a natural choice on the part of the French barons. England was, at the time, a hated rival, and it will be easy for us to appreciate their motives when we think of Philip II of Spain as King of England when he married Mary Tudor. The selection of Philip VI did not create much stir at the time, and indeed within a year Edward III crossed to France to do homage for his French possessions, thereby recognizing his rival as sovereign. It is true that he added some qualifying words which became afterward the subject of argument, but there is no evidence that he at the time wished for the French throne. Scotland was much nearer his heart. Even when he eventually broke with France, he did not officially put forward the claim. The war had been in operations nearly 2 years before he officially advanced it, and then only at the request of the Flemings, whom he was trying to bring into active alliance against France. The assertion made in so many history books that Edward III went to war for the crown of France is thus incorrect. Confusion has been induced by the intrusion of the Salic Law into the controversy. It is alleged that the so-called Salic Law prevented Isabella or her son from sitting on the throne of France. But the truth is that this law was not mentioned or thought of by the French jurists till over 30 years later. The truth of the matter can be summed up in a sentence: the legitimate heir was passed over because he was a foreigner. In any case, it was a wise decision. The law of female inheritance has been responsible for much misery.